Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
And guys, if you remember this, this is maybe reliving a little bit of our childhood here. But remember those, and now it's amazing how what we looked at as children, the programs and television programs, they're just no original concepts. They're just remaking, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like Spider-Man again. You know what I'm saying? Didn't you see we Spider-Man with little children? It was like, and they're upgrading them. But you remember that when we were kids, they the original or the first Transformers were these little actual toy things that
actually made out of metal.
Made out of metal, yeah. Today they're made out of plastic, but they were made out of metal, and you can change it from a bird to a car to whatever. I didn't have too many of those, but they had them.
Chris did.
Oh, Chris.
He was a Transformer connoisseur.
Was he really?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And you were a Transformer?
No,
connoisseur.
Connoisseur. Yeah.
We won't ask him to spell that now, but that's okay. That's okay. But I was thinking about, you know, because the whole Transformer thing is, if you don't know what we're talking about, it's a toy that children a long time ago played with. And I guess they play with it now since they've upgraded, have other versions of all these things. And so the idea of the game is that it transforms from whatever it was into a car or into a robot or whatever, but it totally changes. It started out as a robot, and before you finish changing it and twisting it and turning it around, this thing was... I thought the Rubik's Cube was amazing. You know what I'm saying? That's amazing. Until I found that I could take the stickers off and change the colors, but I won't talk about
that.
Oh,
my goodness.
But I thought the Rubik's Cube was amazing because you could get all the colors on one side. But when you get this metal toy that goes from a robot and completely transform into a vehicle, and it's no longer, you're thinking, wow, it was started off as one thing and it changed completely to the other. Well, I was thinking about how God is the original Transformer, right? God is the original Transformer. He takes us from what we were, right?
Yeah.
Or what we are to what he wants us to be, and the two don't look alike. That we were once one way, and we have become something else. Mm-hmm. And you look at an individual like Saul, right, in the Bible, who later became Paul, but before he became Paul, there was a transformation that occurred there in the middle, and he had some issues. You know, Saul, you know, persecuted the church. He was coming against Christians. He was hurting them, killing them, and only later to become one of them and writing most of the New Testament. Mm-hmm. You think about a transformation that occurred. I mean, this was an individual, Acts chapter 9 tells us, who was persecuting. That means doing Christians harm. He was on a hunt. He had letters. He had authorization. He was taking them out.
Mm, yeah.
He was not a friendly guy to us. and then a transformation occurred in his life. Well, we'll talk about it here in a minute, where he actually not only stopped persecuting Christians, he became a Christian, and not just a Christian. He became a leader. Mm. He became an apostle. He wrote most of the New Testament, a large percentage of it. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we have Bible college built off of the things that the Holy Spirit used him to write. When you think about a transformation in definition is changing in form, appearance, nature, or character. It's a complete change. Mm-hmm. It's a transformation. To change from one thing completely to another. And many Christians today, I sense as I talk to them and just be, you know, I'm around that they're wanting transformation. They feel almost defeated in what's going on in the country. They look at the country and they're saying they want to see their country transformed. They want to see their city transformed. They want to see their families transformed. Mm-hmm. But the truth is that you're never going to see a nation, you're never going to see a city, you're not going to see even your own family transformed unless you become transformed. It all starts with you. Mm-hmm. And it's just so amazing how everybody wants to start with somebody else. If we could just fix them people over there, right. You know what I mean? If we could just deal with that state, that state has a whole bunch of issues. Can we just remove them from the union? You know, those people, no. Transformation, true transformation starts with the individual.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has to go first. And just as amazing is to see a physical transformation. If you've ever seen someone that has lost a tremendous amount of weight, I mean, they look completely different.
Oh, yeah.
Completely. I mean, someone that was in excess of several, you know, maybe hundreds of pounds. I mean, mm-hmm. their face, everything looks different. We don't look the same person anymore. Mm-mm. There is a complete physical, dramatic transformation. And just as dramatic as a physical transformation can be and has been for some folks, the same thing can happen to us in our spiritual life. There can be a transformation in our inner man that literally changes us from what we used to be to what God wants us to be. See, that's the whole goal. When someone says they have their own personal testimony, your salvation testimony is what you were like before Christ. And that is typically very bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Not good. And then there is a clear line of demarcation. There is a clear line somewhere in your life. And maybe that line was several years in the making or a couple of months. It didn't probably happen in a day. Didn't happen in a day. But there's a period of time where that demarcation line, on the other side of that, is a wholly different person.
Yeah.
That person doesn't think the same, doesn't act the same, doesn't have the same conversations, doesn't normally even hang around with the same people, because, you know, who you're with really determines, the company you keep determines really, you know, what you do and how you become.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there's a transformation that occurs. And to be a Christian means to be in a continual state of transformation.
Mm-hmm.
You don't stop transforming. You don't stop changing, right? Because we need to be more like Jesus every single day. Every single day we need to be more like him. And the question is, are we closer yet? Are we closer yet? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I've been saved all these years. Listen. Steve Hill used to say, unless your shadow is healing the sick, you got a ways to go. You got a ways to go, Bubba. You know what I mean? If your shadow ain't healing the sick, you ain't there yet. And even if it was, still ain't there yet. It's impossible. It's impossible to say that we know Jesus and have a relationship with Jesus and not be transformed. He is a life-changing, transformative force. And when you encounter him, you won't come out of this thing totally different if you encounter him. If we're truly walking with Jesus, the transformer transforms us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He changes. It's a beautiful thing to see. There's nothing to me more encouraging to see someone who has come to the Lord Jesus Christ and to see the transformation of their life. They think differently, they act differently, and this is not because they have behavior modification and they're just, I got to act a certain way, and so they're forcing themselves, but something happened in the inside that affects the outside. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Is that powerful?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's powerful because that's what it's all about. It's about a transformation. So the thing about it is that we're called to be like Jesus. In every single way, he led the example. In every single way, he is our model. This is who we look to. And that's the standard. That's the standard. And the biggest transformation that any of us can have in our life is to get the sin out of our life. You got to get the sin out.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get the sin out. You will not be transformed into what God has called you to be, the purposes of God in your life, if you are still living in habitual sin. And you got to get the sin out because you can't be transformed. You can't be transformed. And the thing about it is that it's to no longer tolerate. It's no longer to be passive. It's no longer to wink at sinful practices in your life as if Jesus is not aware of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we talked about VFN Radio when last week when we talked about where is God. You know where God is? He's here. He's there. He's everywhere. All at the same time. You can't not live a life that's compartmentalized and think that if you're a believer that Jesus is not present. No, he saw that, and he knows what you just thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
He knows and sees it all.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So it helps us to live a humble life and a transparent life and to say, well, okay, God, you saw it, and start dealing with allowing God to work in you. And the goal is to be like him, to be like him. But the question is, who does the transforming? Because a lot of people know they have a change and they want a change in their life. You know, so many well-believing Christians think that they have to try harder,
mm-hmm.
work harder to be all that God desires them to be. I mean, I was on that treadmill. You know what I'm saying? When I first gave my life to the Lord, just give me a book. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Just tell me what I got to read. I know how to read. Mm-hmm. What do I got to do? And I think a lot of men like that. Just tell me what I got to do. What do I got to do? Mm-hmm. And I'll do it. And here's a clue. You can't do it. You can't do it. And you can't change it. You couldn't even bring yourself to God. Led you. God drew you to himself. You couldn't even save yourself. How could you change yourself?
That's right.
There is no book. There is no formula, right, that transforms you. Man-written book. But God himself is the great transformer. I mean, my goodness, he took Abram to Abraham, took Sarai to Sarah, took Jacob to Israel,
mm-hmm.
took Saul to Paul. I mean, he's in the transformation business.
Yes, yeah.
What you used to be is not what you will be.
That's right.
If you allow God to do the transforming in your life, and only God can bring it. I mean, when you look at Paul and what was happening in his life, and he was persecuting the church, you know, this wasn't good. And what happened? What happened in Paul's journey in Acts chapter 9? I mean, he's riding on a horse. He's got his letter. He's got a couple guys with him, and he's going to town. I'm on my way to get some Christians and squash this. What happened that Paul went from a persecutor to now one that loves God, willing to suffer immensely for him? Because that's one of the things that Jesus, God told Ananias. He says, I will show him that he's going to suffer much for me. He will suffer much for me. What happened to this man? What happened? He had an encounter. He had an encounter with God that changed everything. The question is, when was the last time you had an encounter with God? I mean, really, a truly encounter. When was the last time that you quieted your soul before him? I mean, sometimes you got to get past the noise.
Mm.
We talk about this often, how there's just so much noise. And if you're not hearing noise with your ears, you're probably hearing noise in your head. And there's time for meditative, contemplative prayer and soaking and quietness of the soul before God. There is an encounter to have with him. There is a soaking in his presence. So what Saul was doing in his life wasn't good.
Mm.
But the deal was that Saul was confronted. His situation was addressed. He was addressed. He was doing all this stuff, and Jesus confronted him. What did Jesus say? He said, Saul, why are you persecuting me?
Mm-hmm.
That encounter was so real that it knocked him off his horse, mm-hmm. and struck him blind. Think about that. Many believers today are running from confrontation or an encounter that can help them. You know what I'm saying? Jesus confronted him.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus confronted him, and he was off the horse. He was off the horse, blind, saw a bright light. That was a confrontation saying, listen, you are on the wrong road, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
You are on the wrong path. And Jesus loved him enough to confront him in his situation. He encountered him. People always think that an encounter has to be this glowing thing. No, an encounter is sometimes addressing what's going on. But so many believers right now are running from any kind of confrontation, any kind of encounter that's going to change their life. And the truth is that, you know what? Transformation. How can you be transformed of what you do not even know?
Mm.
Mm.
We need to be knocked off our high horse with the truth of God's word.
That's right.
You can't be transformed of what you don't know. If you are going the wrong way, somebody has to encounter you. Someone has to confront you. I don't like confrontation. Dude, if you're going 90 miles an hour over a cliff, do you want someone to confront you and tell you, stop, there's a cliff here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you want to be confronted. Confrontation doesn't necessarily mean an argument or a fight, if you will. Confrontation just means something being addressed, and God was addressing Saul. You got to be willing to be confronted, and the thing about being transformed is that if we refuse to address what's going on in our life, how can we change it? How can God change it?
Yeah.
And if we're not abiding with God, how could we know what needs to be transformed?
Exactly.
If you're living in the dark and you don't open up the light of God's word, how do you going to know that you got some dark things all around? And when we spend time with God and we abide with God, God's word, his light begins to shine in the dark places and start to point things in our life that says, that ain't right, that ain't right, that ain't right. 1 Peter 1:14 says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. We can't conform to evil things. We got to conform and wrap ourselves and let God conform us to his image. Romans 12 says it's right. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world.
But be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Be transformed. Be metamorphosized by what?
By the renewing of your mind.
By the renewing of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And how does your mind get renewed?
Get in the Word.
Get in the Word.
Spend time with Him.
Spend time with Him.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to see the change in your life. You're not going to see the change, spiritual breakthrough. You're not going to see the encounter happening in your life until you absolutely allow God to address situations, that you encounter God. Let the Word shine light in your heart, so that things can absolutely change. They got to change. Your mind, you change by the water and by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
By the water of God's word, by the Spirit of God. Your mind is renewed when you abide daily with God and hide God's word in your heart. Every time you're abiding and you're hiding God's word in your heart, there are like seeds that are growing in your heart. And as you continue to water them, you continue to abide and seek his face and spend time with him, those seeds begin to grow and grow and grow. And before you know it, you know, you can plant some kind of grass that will overtake the other stuff that's in there. When you plant God's word in your heart and you allow God to work that soil of your heart and work those seeds of truth, that truth is going to overcome any bit of darkness in your life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's more powerful. Light belongs in darkness. Truth belongs in the dark places. And that's how God begins to transform us. I've been on the slippery slope. And early in my walk, you know, I tried everything. I tried to do everything. And I think a lot of times we approach God in that way where we just give me a list. Give me what to do. Or we wallow over a certain situation, something that we can't break in our life. And the thing about it, God's saying, listen, spend time with me. Spend time with me. Encounter me. Let me encounter you. Let me transform you.
Hmm.
Titus 3:5 says he saved us not because of the righteous things we've done, but because of his mercy he saved us through the washing or the rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that will renew us. He'll change us and he'll take us where? From glory to glory. John 5:35 says that Jesus, this is Jesus speaking, and verily I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they be born of water and Spirit. So God is the transformer. He's the original transformer. Allow him to make the necessary changes in your life that you may reflect more and more and more his glory. Get off that slippery slope. Get off of that to-do list. Get off of being defeated and just wallowing in why things won't change. And just cry out to God. Set time to be with him. Allow him and his word and the Holy Spirit to transform you into what he wants you to be. And you'll look back and say, who was that guy? Who was that girl?
Mm-hmm.
Because the word of God says that if any man, if any woman be in Christ, old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. But don't get off the transformation. Stay in that transformation. Stay in that place and allow God to confront you and encounter you and bring you to the place that he has always purposed for you to be. Let the original transformer transform you. Listen, we can't do it. Nope. Some of us have tried and we failed miserably. We can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. Only God can bring the transformation in our life to bring us from what we were or what we are to what he wants us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the perfect example. He's the perfect model, but we got to allow him. I mean, how many times, maybe in your own life, or talking to somebody else that you're trying, and the harder you try, the less transformation occurs.
Exactly.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, somebody said to me too, it's just like, you know, when you're at work, God's at rest.
Mm.
But then when you're at rest,
God's
that's
at work.
That's when, right, God begins.
Mm.
Because it's just like, it's that process of God's waiting for us to get to the end of ourselves. You're just saying, all right, I've tried all those things.
Mm-hmm.
I guess God's just going to have to do it. It's just like, that was the only way that was going to happen in the first place. And
yeah,
it's just like, as we do that and learn that lesson, because I've definitely had that lesson more than once. And just God's just reminding me, it's just like, it's only through me that you're able to do this.
Yeah.
It's only through God that we're able to transform.
Well, it's like the product. Yeah, sorry.
No, it's okay.
I was going to say, just like the prodigal son, it wasn't until he came to the end of himself.
Mm-hmm.
Then he humbled himself.
Yeah.
And then he went to go seek out the, right, Father.
Right.
And then when the Father saw him,
right,
he welcomed him with open arms. But until he came to himself,
yeah,
there was a void.
And that's the powerful thing about it, is that the Father never ran after him.
Mm-mm.
He allowed, because he knew the process.
Yeah.
He knew that's the process that has to take, that has to go to its complete fruition in order for that transformation to come to pass.
And the truth is, you were just saying, Pat, is so powerful, is that you got to come to the end of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You got to come to the end of yourself, and you need to hate that sin.
Mm-hmm.
You got to hate that issue the way God hates it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Until you come to the end of yourself, you're just
on a treadmill.
You're just on a treadmill. You're just on a treadmill. Wow. You're just on a treadmill. And the thing about it is, like, are we sick and tired of seeing this thing? It's like, what is it? Let's get rid of it. Carve it out, cut it out, you know. But it happens when we submit to what God is doing, what God is saying, God's ways. And I've learned over the years, you know, throw your blueprint out the door when it comes to anything with God. Because God's not interested in our plans. It's like, many are the plans in a man's heart. You know what I'm saying? Many are the plans in a man's heart. But there's a word that separates this. But God is the one that determines his steps. You can plan, you can strategize, you have no problem with that. But he's the one that's going to give the order. I mean, it's like, you know, we were painting the house, and my little daughter, they had a little miniature roller. She was attempting to paint. She wasn't doing anything, and she wasn't messing anything up, but we kind of allowed her to feel like she was participating in what was happening. And it's like, that happens with God all the time. He's like, here's a little roller. I will let you come up with some plans. I will allow you to partner here with me.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be the one. I'm going to be the one who's steering this. If you're submitted to me now, if you're following me, I'm going to be the one that's going to, I'm the captain of the ship. Mm. I'm the one that's going to navigate you through all these waters and all these situations and everything that's going in your life. I mean, I was the one that saw you lying in that pool of blood and said, live. You didn't do a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you couldn't save yourself, you certainly can't change yourself. And it takes humility and total dependency upon God and saying, I'm not going to do it. And oftentimes the struggle that people have, that if they're not doing something, if they're not touching something, if they're not trying to be involved in the process, mm-hmm. they feel it's not going to work. The truth is that we just got to let go and let God and let Him do all the fixing and all the transforming.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com. Or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.